Through a sermon series called Proclaim God's Mighty Works. And we are finishing up the book of Acts. We've been studying through the book of Acts throughout this year. And today is the last sermon and the last sermon series that we'll be doing through the book of Acts. And we're in the very last chapter of the book of Acts. And so as we finish out this sermon series, I hope that we can just reflect back on not only this sermon series, but all the different sermons that we listened to, all the different stories and all the different passages that we looked at as we went through the book of Acts. And so today, the final sermon, it's entitled The Gospel for All. The Gospel for All. Let's all turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 28, and we'll read from verse 23 to the very end in verse 31. If you have one of these Bibles from outside, we're looking at page 937, 937. Acts chapter 28, starting in verse 23. All right, this is the reading of God's word. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers from morning till evening. He expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Amen. I was trying to think of a good way to introduce this question, and it won't make sense when I first ask this question. And so just bear with me a little bit, all right? I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to give you the answer, okay? So what should you do if you move to a new place? The answer is live according to God's ways and share the gospel. What should you do if you got a new job? Live according to God's ways and share the gospel. What should you do if for some reason you were imprisoned? Live according to God's ways and share the gospel. Okay, you guys kind of get where I'm going with this? Like, you guys know what the answer will be for whatever question I ask? Wherever we go, whatever we do, what we want to do is we want to live according to God's ways and share the gospel. Now, what that looks like in every situation, and how you will do that, it'll look different, it'll be different. But behind everything that we do as Christians, what we want to do is we want to live according to God's ways and share the gospel. To kind of bring that all together into one short sentence is that whether it be through our actions or through our words, we want to proclaim the gospel to all, to everyone. And that's our main idea for today. Proclaim the gospel to all. And the 3 points that we'll be going through are, number one, the gospel for the Jews. Number two, the gospel for all. And number three, continue to proclaim. Now, as we dive into our passage today, we're going to start with this idea of the gospel for the Jews. What we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks is that Paul was arrested because he was going around and he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just in the temple and he was worshiping God. But then there are other Jews that came and were accusing him of going against the law of Moses. They were accusing him of telling other people that they didn't have to live according to God's ways anymore. And so he was arrested by the crowds and they were going to kill him, but the Roman soldiers, they came and kind of rescued him by imprisoning him. Now, what we find is that Paul went through a couple trials. He met with different leaders, Roman leaders and Jewish leaders, and he continued to tell his story about how he had an encounter with Jesus Christ and how he got a calling for his life, how he needed to go and share the gospel with others around the world, basically. And the last time we heard about how he was in the presence of a Roman governor named Festus, and how Festus, he invited another king named King Agrippa and his sister Bernice to come and listen to Paul as he was on trial. And while Paul was on trial, he knew what was going to happen, and so he cried out, "I appeal to Caesar." And so because he appealed to Caesar, Paul is now sent on a journey to go to Rome and to be on trial before Caesar. And so in the next couple chapters, what we find is Paul traveling to Rome and having all kinds of interesting stories, adventures, scary happenings that happen. And finally, he makes it to Rome. And he's given a lot of freedom, actually. He's allowed to have his own place to stay. And people are allowed to come. His friends are allowed to come and visit him and care to his needs. And he's able to meet with other people and share the gospel with them. It's actually an incredible opportunity for Paul that he has just to be in Rome, in a strange way, be provided free housing, kind of in jail, but it was a nicer situation, be provided with free housing, and he's able to openly share the gospel with people. So he meets with the Jews, and he shares with them about the gospel. He tells them briefly, and the Jews, they say, "We want to hear more about this." And that's where we come to our passage today. So they appointed a day that they could meet together, and the Jews would come and talk with Paul. And Paul tells them about Jesus Christ. But then what the Jews say is that, "We haven't heard anything from Jerusalem about you or about these things that you're talking about. We haven't heard anything. We've heard some things about Jesus Christ. We've heard some things about something that was going on in Jerusalem. So we'd like to hear more about this." And so in verse 23, it says, "When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets." And so Paul, he explains to the Jews from morning all the way to evening, and he's using the law of Moses and the prophets. And basically what this means is that he's using the Old Testament, the thing that the Jews believe in. He uses the Old Testament to try to tell them about the kingdom of God and to share with them about Jesus Christ. And to try to prove to them, look, Jesus is the Messiah and he fulfills the prophecies that are talked about in the Old Testament. Of course, to the Jews, they didn't call it the Old Testament. It was just their scriptures. So that's what Paul did. Now, this pattern of Paul going to the Jews first and sharing the gospel with them, and then moving on to sharing the gospel with other people, is something that we see all throughout the book of Acts. We see it all the way from the beginning, and we see this pattern continued. In fact, when Jesus Christ, when he was still with the people in Acts chapter 1, he was still with the people, he tells the people, "I want you to be my witnesses." And then he ascends into heaven. But even in this statement here in Acts chapter 1, we see this pattern of going from Jerusalem first all the way to the ends of the earth. And we see this pattern happening all throughout the book of Acts. And throughout this year, we preached, or we heard the sermons preached all throughout the book of Acts, and we saw this pattern being unfolded. Let me just read this passage for us. And this is a statement, I believe, is from Jesus to every single believer that we need to heed, we need to listen to, we need to strive to accomplish what Jesus has told us to do. This is what Jesus says: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And for believers in Jesus Christ, we believe that the Holy Spirit has already come upon us. It's not something that we wait for, and it's not something that we hope will happen one day. We all already have the Holy Spirit. But this is what Jesus says: "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Well, we talked about, this was at the very beginning of the year, where we were going through the beginning of the book of Acts, and we were talking about the supernatural community and how it was formed, how the Holy Spirit came up upon the people, and the church was born, and they began to be witnesses all around their community. But then as we went on in the book of Acts, we also saw that this new community, this supernatural community of Christ, began to experience some challenges. And the things that they were first practicing, they were practicing listening and studying and really being devoted to the apostles' teaching and to prayer and to the breaking of bread and to fellowship. They were devoted to these things, but there were challenges to these things as well. And so we find how there were sin that was discovered. There was sin discovered in the church. We find how there was persecution from outside the church. And we talked about all these different challenges that the church community faced as they were trying to be witnesses in Jerusalem. But not only that, we saw how the gospel continued on from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And we saw how the gospel went from not only the Jews, but also began to go to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles even, as we saw how Peter brought the gospel to Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. And so there were these changes that were happening in the community. It wasn't just the supernatural community in Jerusalem and that was it, but God had a bigger plan that this gospel would go forth to the ends of the earth. And so these changes needed to happen within this Jewish community of believers, where they began to accept Samaritan believers and they began to accept Gentile believers. And then we saw how Paul came into the picture. In the very beginning, from the first half of the book of Acts, the focus was on Peter. But then we begin to see Paul come into focus, and then we see how Paul began to go to other places all around Asia and Macedonia and Greece, and he began to create communities of Christ. And so he went to different places and he began to share. He started off by going to the synagogues and shared with the Jews, but then what we find over and over is that some Jews, they came to believe, but other Jews, they rejected. And so these people that rejected Paul, these were the ones that began to persecute Paul and the followers. But even still, these new communities of Christ were being established all around the ends of the earth, the known world at that time. And so we come to the very end of the book of Acts, and we've been going through this last sermon series where Paul is now going from place to place, proclaiming God's mighty works and how God has worked in his life. And we've been learning about how, you know, God is working in every person's life that is a believer. And maybe if you're not a believer here, the fact that you're sitting here listening to this sermon is perhaps evidence that God is also working in your life. God is orchestrating his story and orchestrating his work even in your own lives. And we have now the joy and the responsibility as well to go out and continue to proclaim God's mighty works wherever we go, whether it be when we move to a new place, whether it be when we get a new job, whether it be when we move into a new neighborhood, or maybe if someday, for some reason, we become persecuted and we end up in jail. Wherever we go, what God desires of us is for us to live according to God's ways and to proclaim His gospel truth, proclaim His mighty works in our lives. Now, as we come back to our passage, and we're at the very end now, and Paul does the same thing. He speaks with the Jews, and he shares with them about the kingdom of God, and he talks to them about how Jesus is the one, the answer to all the things that the Jews were looking for. And Jesus is the answer to all things that we, human beings, people from all around the world, are looking for. Jesus is the answer. And so what we see as a response from the Jews is that some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. And we read this quote that comes from the book of Isaiah. But I just want to pause here and say, when Paul was sharing the gospel, his goal was not necessarily to make sure that every single person's heart was changed. That wasn't his goal. His goal was just to proclaim. His hope was that everyone would change. His hope was that everyone would come to believe in Jesus Christ. But it wasn't his goal to make sure that everyone changed. His only goal was to continue to proclaim and share with other people. And so it was the case that not everyone was convinced. And people didn't believe. Some were convinced, but some didn't believe in Jesus Christ and they left. But some of these people, they left, especially after this statement. Paul says, quoting or looking to Isaiah, "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you," and this is what Paul said, "therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, everyone that's not a Jew. And the Gentiles, they will listen." And some of the Jews, they heard this and they thought, "Ah, why would someone even say something like this?" Because of their religious views, Jews had a bias, a prejudice against anyone who wasn't a Jew. And so after hearing this, they didn't want to believe, and some people, they left. This idea is interesting that Paul would even quote this, because, you know, whenever we talk about sharing the gospel, we want to share the gospel with love and patience. But basically what Paul says is, Isaiah was right. You guys are hard of hearing. You guys are stubborn. And this is what Isaiah said, and it's coming true here. And that's why the gospel has gone from you to the Gentiles. It doesn't seem very loving. It doesn't seem very gracious. But that's what Paul shares with the Jews. But it's an important thing for us to recognize what's actually going on here. And when we read from the book of Romans, which Paul wrote himself, Paul wrote the book of Romans, we get a better idea of what Paul was trying to say. In Romans chapter 11, verse 11, it says this: "So I ask, did they," talking about the Jews, "did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, through their sin, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous." Okay, basically what this idea is that God has allowed the Jews, the Israelites, to fall into sin and to reject God. And by doing this, what ended up happening is that the gospel came to the Gentiles, everyone who is not a Jew. So if you are not a Jew here today, if you are not a Jew, then you are able to receive the gospel today because of what has happened. But what does it mean for the Jews then? Because Paul says in the very beginning here, he says, but I asked, did they stumble in order that they might fall? And his meaning is that they might fall never to come back to God again? What about these people? He says, by no means. Because later on in that chapter, he goes on to say this. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, and he's speaking to you Gentiles. Well, he was speaking to the Roman Gentiles at that time. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. You see, God's love is not stopped by the disobedience of people. God's love is not stopped by your sin. And this gospel was not just for the Jews, but because both Jew and Gentile, because everyone has fallen into sin, now God has the opportunity to show mercy to all. The gospel is not just for the Jew, but the gospel is for all. And so we come to our second point here. We want to proclaim this good news that it's not just for Jew, it's not just for Gentile, it's not just for Presbyterians, it's not just for Charismatics. The gospel is for all. The gospel is for everyone. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you've lived a saintly life your whole life or if you've lived a criminal life your whole life. The gospel is for all. And this is what Paul proclaimed. At the end of our passage, this is what it says. It says he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. And we don't know what happened to Paul afterwards. We hear stories a little bit here and there. Perhaps after 2 years, he was killed. He was sentenced to death. But we're not really sure. The Bible doesn't go on to tell us what happened to Paul. But he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And I want us to focus on these two things, but especially right now, let's focus on this first part. What are the two things? The first one is that Paul spent all his time talking about the kingdom of God. And the second thing that he really focused on is about the Lord Jesus Christ. So every time he shared with people, he was always talking about this is what it is to live in the kingdom of God. This is what it is as a Christian to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. But also he spent a lot of time talking about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is not someone that we just trust in so that we become a Christian only. But Jesus Christ is the one that we look to and learn from and continue to grow through because he's the one that gives us power and strength and encouragement every day of our lives. And we need to know what Jesus is doing in our lives today. And so let's talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about being able to live for a purpose that's more than what the world tells us. It's about having a relationship with God that gives us more value than we can imagine. It gives us more purpose in our lives than we thought. What's the purpose that the world tells us? Study hard, get into college, study hard, get a good job, get married, maybe. Have children, maybe. Work hard, Make a lot of money? Maybe. Retire? Then use all that money for medicine. Is there anything greater than this purpose? And then what ends up happening is that you end up dying, of course. Is there something better than this? The kingdom of God tells us that there is a greater purpose for our lives than just this. The kingdom of God, it's what will bring light to the world in this world of darkness. It's what will bring about love and care where people are selfish and just looking out for themselves. The kingdom of God is what will bring about well-being and proper understanding of wisdom and even justice in this world that's filled with injustice, in this world where people are only caring about what they want and how they can advance in life and not necessarily caring about other people. This kingdom of God is what we want to bring into this world. We want to bring this kingdom of God into our workplaces, into our homes, into our neighborhoods. This is what we want to see happen here in Taiwan. For each of you that are here, maybe your time here is only for a week. Maybe your time here is for 3 months. Maybe your time here is for a year or 2 years. Or maybe you plan on being here for 5 years or maybe for the rest of your lives. But whatever amount of time that you have here in Taiwan, this is your opportunity to proclaim God's mighty works. To proclaim about what God is doing in this world. To proclaim what God is doing in our own lives. To proclaim about what this kingdom of God is all about and how this life is actually so much better than any life that anyone in the world says is a good life. We have an opportunity while we are in Taiwan to talk about, to tell people, whether they are Taiwanese or people from other countries. We have a ton of people from other countries that are coming into Taiwan, and there are millions of visitors that come to Taiwan every year. Millions of people that come through Taiwan. And we have the opportunity to share with people about the kingdom of God. There are people that are seeking purpose. There are people that we run into that are seeking blessings. They're looking for life, trying to understand what life is all about. And they look to idols. They look to idols made by people. They look to idols and they hope that something will happen. They go to the temples and they pray and they're just hoping that something will change in their lives. But they're imprisoned by the ideas of this world. What we want to do is we want to bring the kingdom of God about God's love and justice and mercy and compassion. We want to bring these into our schools where professors, as some of us have heard before or even experienced, where professors are holding on to cheap labor by keeping graduate students in the schools and not letting them graduate. We want to bring this into our workplaces where people aren't being paid enough and where people are abused and where people are so vicious and selfish and just trying to get ahead. We want to bring this into our families, where children are growing up feeling like they have no purpose and that there isn't much hope for the future. We want to share this with people because the fact is there is something more to life than what people experience. There is something more. And Christian, if you are a Christian, we have that. It's about the kingdom of God. And it's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ commands us to not just live our life like we are, like everyone else in this world, growing up, trying to have fun, trying to find work, trying to find love, trying to find purpose in life, trying to finally find rest, and then trying to find happiness at the end of life. God has something more for us. He wants us to go out into this world and to be witnesses of God's mighty works, to share about how there is more hope and more joy and more peace than people are experiencing. It's through Jesus Christ. God wants us to go and share with people about these things and to proclaim that there's more to life. God wants us to proclaim it here in Taiwan. God wants us to go wherever we go, whether it be to another country or to a new job, God wants us to go and proclaim. Whether it's in a situation where we're free and we're able to freely share, or whether it be in a situation where we're imprisoned and captured and we're persecuted, still God wants us to share. And we go on to proclaim about God's kingdom and how Jesus is the way to true life. You know, this is something that missionaries are working towards around the world. Not only to share this idea, not only to be evangelizing and sharing about God's kingdom, but missionaries are working around the world to see that the gospel goes forth to every single part of this world, that the kingdom of God would be proclaimed in every part of this world. And so they make all kinds of efforts, they make all kinds of sacrifices, because they believe that once the gospel goes forth to every part of the world and God's will for this world is done, then that's when Jesus Christ will return. And we're looking forward to that day when Jesus Christ will return. Now, there are many organizations around the world, Christian organizations, missionary organizations, that are working together. And there's an organization called the Lausanne Movement, and they gather different leaders, church pastors, and organizations to come together and to think together, what is it that God wants us to do? What is it that God wants us to focus on so that this gospel may continue to go forth around the world? And the Lausanne Movement has a conference that they put on. This is their website, so if you're interested, just type in L-A-U-S-A-N-N-E. L-A-U-S-A-N-N-E. You could go to their website, and they have a lot of resources. They have videos that you could look at. But I want to just show you one video, one of their promotional videos right now, just to think about this idea of how Jesus has called us to go forth and share the gospel to the world. And missionaries are working together to see that this happens. But this is not just a work for missionaries. This is a work for every single one of us. And we are a part of this big work that's happening all around the world. And so, if we can watch this video together.
In a world marred by division, rage, indifference,
selfishness, fear,
we are doing something different.
For 50 years, we have been coming together
to lay aside our own agendas
and act together as one
for God's global mission.
Because together is better.
Together we are leaders from every continent across the generations
with shared missional passions.
We want to see the world healed in Christ.
Summon. We want to see the nations rejoice.
Awesome. We want to lay down our swords
and take up our crosses.
Ikamutu. We want the gospel to reach every person.
Tariya. We want disciple-making churches for every people and place.
Hamke. We want Christ-like leaders in every church and sector.
Edu.
We want to see the kingdom impact in every sphere of society.
Each.
together.
Pamoja.
We are accelerating global mission together.
Thank you so much. We'll wait for the screen to turn back. But, you know, me standing up here and talking about how we want to go out and share the gospel around the world is not just something that I say because this is what the Bible tells us to do and we're supposed to do it. Actually, I share this with you because this is my passion. This is something I really believe in. And I believe that every single one of us need to be involved in this. Not just need to be involved. It's such a privilege to be involved in what God is doing around the world. And I want you to know that if you are a Christian here today, you have the opportunity to be involved in what God is doing. And this is not just something that's happening at our church. This is happening in multiple churches all around Taipei. This is not just something that's happening just in Taiwan, but this is happening all around the world from whatever country you've come from and whatever country you haven't been to. This is something that God is doing and He's been doing for years and years now to see the kingdom of God continue to go forth and calling His people to be the ones to go forth and to proclaim the kingdom. This is something great that's happening. And our church, we have a wonderful opportunity to actually join with the Lausanne movement. One of the guys that actually appeared in the video, he's one of my close friends. He was actually my student when I was pastoring in America. And he has now become one of the leaders in the Lausanne movement. And he's asked me and our church to partner with the Lausanne movement and to collaborate with other churches and organizations from around the world to contribute and to keep thinking together about how can we as Christians continue to see the gospel go forth around the world. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, but it's not exciting because we have this opportunity to collaborate with other groups. It's exciting because I see here people from all around the world. And I see here people that are able to share the gospel all around Taiwan where we need to see the gospel go forth. And it's exciting because I know that many of you will also be going back to your home countries or you might be going to other parts of the world and you will continue to be a light in those places. It's exciting because even though we finished the book of Acts today, the book of Acts finishes with Paul proclaiming the gospel. And then when you read through church history, you see how the gospel continues to go forth and you hear about how churches continue to grow and how they share the gospel. And you hear about how the gospel began to cross seas and go to the places where the gospel has never been heard. And the story continues on. God's big story continues on even till today. And God's big story will continue on all the way to the day that Jesus Christ returns. And we see the things that happen in the book of Revelation happen. And finally, the end will come. In other words, we are living out God's big story. This story has not come to an end yet. We know what the end is like because we have the book of Revelation. But we are living in God's big story right now. And we are part of those people that are proclaiming the kingdom of God and sharing about Jesus Christ to this world. But some of you guys might respond by saying, that sounds great and all, but I don't really feel like I know enough, I'm good enough, I don't really feel like I have the conviction maybe or the passion like you do, Pastor. I don't feel like I'm ready, and I don't even know if I want to do this. Well, remember Paul quoted from the book of Isaiah. And he actually quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. And there's a part that comes right before the quote. And this is what it says in the beginning of Isaiah 6. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What's happening here? What's happening is this. Isaiah has a vision, and all of a sudden he's transported into the throne room of God. And it's just such an amazing sight. It's a sight that causes fear. I don't know if you've ever felt just some crazy happening where all of a sudden, you don't know why, but you're just filled with fear. Some of you guys know that I like SpaceX. And SpaceX, they just blasted off the biggest spaceship ever, or the most powerful spaceship ever. And someone was nearby, and they saw this spaceship blast off, and they started to feel the rumble of the sound that it made. And you see their reaction, and all of a sudden, as they're like, whoa, whoa, and because there's a difference, there's a difference, there's a time difference of when you see something happen versus when you actually hear the sound of it happening, because they were that far away. You see the person go, whoa, that's so cool, yeah! And then all of a sudden the sound comes and it's like, and then you start to see their face begin to become a little bit fearful because it's just such a powerful sound. Now imagine if we're in the presence of God and you see angels declaring how holy God is, and you see the temple area, it feels like it's a temple and it's filling with smoke. And Isaiah's only reaction is this. Woe is me. And he realizes in that moment, I am a sinner. I'm a person of unclean lips. Because he's supposed to be a prophet. He's supposed to be a person that goes out and proclaims God's word. But he realizes his sin. He realizes that he is unworthy. He realizes that he's just not the right person. He feels that way and he knows it. Not only that, he says that he comes from a people of unclean lips. What happens right after? It says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, one of the angels flew to him, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. You see, no matter how unworthy you feel, no matter how sinful you feel that you are, perhaps even your own idea of like, I just don't have that passion. Perhaps that is coming from a place of not knowing who God is enough. Because if you were to see God in person, if you were to be in his presence, then you would probably be like Isaiah and you would drop everything and you would probably say, Woe is me. I am a sinner. But the wonderful thing is that an angel comes and gets a coal, a burning coal, and touches it on Isaiah's lips. And it's almost like all the sin that Isaiah felt, he was supposed to be a person that proclaims God and his word, but all the sin, all the things that he was supposed to do with his lips, he didn't do. And it was a tarnished words that came out of his mouth. But what the angel does is that he touches his mouth with that burning coal and it says, and he says, Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. You don't have to feel guilty anymore. You are made clean and you can now proclaim Because whatever words that are being proclaimed, God is going to proclaim it through you. What happens next is very interesting. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us to proclaim about God? Who of you will go and proclaim God and his mighty works? And Isaiah responds saying, here I am, send me. And some of us might be saying, yes, that's my response. But some of us might be saying, no, I don't know if I could say that. Send me, God? I'm still afraid. I don't know how to do this. And some of us might be saying, I don't want to. Even though God is the one saying, who will go for us? You're saying, not me, God. I don't want to live for you in this way. But as we go back to our passage, what Paul proclaimed was the kingdom of God and about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about Jesus Christ, we see that Jesus was the one that said, here I am, send me. And Jesus had pure lips. He was perfect in every way. He proclaimed God's kingdom. And he was faithful to the Lord all the way, faithful to the Father. And yet he was the one that received the burning coal on him. He was the one that went to the cross for us. And he was the one that said, here I am, Father, send me that my people would be saved. Because I love my people and I care about my people. And I want to proclaim good news to them. That your sins are forgiven. And you don't have to hold on to your guilt or your shame any longer. And because this is what Jesus Christ did for us, this gives us the hope and the joy to also be able to respond saying, it's going to be hard, Lord, and I don't know much, and I'm afraid of failing, but Lord, whatever you desire, here I am. Because of the love that you gave to me, here I am. Because I know that you will be with me, here I am, Lord. Send me. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to be witnesses of him and to proclaim his mighty deeds. So how do we continue on to proclaim? How do we do this? What things do we need to keep in mind? I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. Number one, realize that we are in God's story. Realize that your life right now that you're living is not just so that you can live your own life. Realize that God is doing a work in you and God wants to use you to proclaim his mighty works. Number two, keep your eyes open to how God moves. Look around and ask, what's God doing right now? How is God moving right now? And not necessarily in a kind of a doubting, kind of suspicious kind of way, but just asking, I know God is good. I know God is moving. Even in my difficult moment right now, I know that God is working. And I want to see what God is doing here. Just keep your eye open to see what God is doing. Number three, be willing to share about how God has moved. If you begin to notice how God is moving around you in other people's lives and even in your own life, then you could begin to share that with other people about how God is moving in these different situations. Number four, remember that as you share, that their change is not dependent upon you. It's not your goal to change those people, but rather just to proclaim good news. And there might be some people that will doubt and not believe, and they'll turn away. But that's okay. Our goal is just to go and share with people what God has done. And lastly, remember, this is often done through this supernatural community. You don't have to feel alone in doing this work, but remember that we together, we are a community. We are a supernatural community that is being pushed along and encouraged, and we move forward by the encouragement of our God through the Holy Spirit. And so remember, this is not something that we do alone. We do this together as a community. Remember, the gospel is for everyone, for all. And so let's together go and proclaim God's mighty works. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the wonderful book of Acts and all the things that you've taught us through it. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would encourage us as we remember how you came for us. Lord, may we also go forth and share your good news with others. We pray that you would do this in our lives for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.